and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg has arrived. Good morning, sir.
Sorry I'm late.
It's all right.
A lot of meetings going on, as you might expect.
I'm sure there are still many. It has been as busy a 2.5-week period as you've had in the 11 so far.
Yeah, that's probably true. I hadn't thought about it in that context. Mm-hmm. But we had the president here yesterday, which was nice. And, you know, I rode in his helicopter, or our helicopter, since we all pay
exactly.
for that helicopter. Yeah, he's a very likable guy, and it was fun. Andrew Cuomo and I rode with him from JFK to over Staten Island, pointing out as we went over the Rockaways and Coney Island and Breezy Point, the devastation, and then took a little tour of the south coast of Staten Island in the helicopter, and then, you know, met some of the workers, awful lot of volunteers who've made all the difference here.
Now, did I don't expect you to give up confidences, but what did the president tell you and the governor about the specifics? The governor wants $30 billion in reconstruct. Did the president give you any indication that, yeah, okay, that sounds like we might be able to do?
We talked about how you get Congress to vote money.
Because the president doesn't do it.
The president doesn't
right.
do that, right. right. And that's always the thing, and that's always with every program. Sean Donovan was there. He used to run our housing program, now runs HUD, Housing and Urban Development, for the country. The president has given him the responsibility of seeing what kind of things we could do to protect not just New York, but big cities from natural calamities, something we work on a lot all the time. But Sean's a very competent, talented guy. I was really annoyed to lose him, but the country really is benefiting from him. And so we talked a little bit about, you know, when you know what to do and when you get the numbers. And I've told the governor we're working on numbers of what we think is needed. Early next week we'll have them, and we'll give them to him, because in the end it's the state that applies to the federal government, and the money's come through the state. We'll do that. But, you know, it was also true. The governor and I had a chance to catch up a little bit and, you know, how things are going. And we've had great the press always wants to make a war between governors and mayors. It's time immemorial in New York. But, you know, Andrew and I work together fine. And I will say the state agencies that he's, you know, that we've interfaced with, I have nothing but good reports from our people.
Tell me what you think about as you walk the beaches of the Rockaways, and you've seen what's happened on Staten Island, and you've been out there. Tell me what you think about the result on the go forward. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, we're going to rebuild it, but it's not easy to do. It's not that easy to do. I mean, do you suspect, and what kind of timeline would you guess?
I know, John, if you build a house on the water, there's a chance of tsunami, tidal surge, big storms that come off the water. That's why insurance is so expensive on the water. People have been doing this from time immemorial, wherever civilization started. Why do people do it? Because living on the water, to a lot of people, is a great experience, and they're willing to run the risks. Nobody's happy when nature comes to call, and everybody screams, we should have done something different. But in a practical sense, you're not going to build a wall from the Florida Keys to the northern tip of Maine to protect the whole coast. In fact, you probably could not do that. There'll never be a technology that can do that. If you remember King Canute of Denmark tried to stop the tides from coming in, and it's a classic story.
Well, the Danes are probably as good as anybody about keeping the sea away from their lands.
Yeah, but they don't have hurricanes, number
Correct.
One, okay? Number two, I mean, the barriers at the Thames, it's a narrow river.
And they also have a very small country.
Yes, absolutely. There's some things that fit there that just don't fit here. I think that the focus has to be on big buildings, being better able to withstand a flood, having your basement to be more of a tub that the water can't get in and the barriers coming up higher, having your generators up higher, fuel tanks by code. Fire code is supposed to be in the basement. That probably is where you'd come out if you did another study of it, although conceivably you could put it up top, but I think the fire issues are real severe with that. But you could waterproof your pumps and the switching and that sort of thing. So, for example, Con Ed, who is down now to something like, last time I checked, 2,100 customers they haven't turned on. And most of those, virtually all of them, we think, need new electric panels in their basements because they were flooded out with salt water. And if you turn on electricity without first cleaning or replacing those, you would start a fire. Con Ed's done a great job here. Having said that, they have a lot of lines above ground. Trees take those down. You can bury them, but it costs a fortune, and then it costs a fortune to maintain it once it's underground. Con Ed, however, did have one substation where they had built barriers for a 12-foot surge. We had a 14-foot surge. That's what took out all of Lower Manhattan. By next year...
That was the East River...
That's correct.
The transformer and
right.
station.
But the next thing is, by next year, that barrier will be higher, right? So I haven't talked to him yet about it, because we're still at the stage of making sure people get fed every night and warmth, get electricity back and hot water and heat. Then you start looking at those things. We've got a team that's working on it, but my focus is still on the delivery of the short-term services, getting everybody back. The City Housing Authority that has something like 425,000 residents across 2,600 buildings. 400 of those were really damaged. Electricity's back in all of them, some on the system, some with generators. Almost all have heat. There's a dozen, which the boilers are there. The boilermaker's trying to hook them up. Takes a lot of work to do. Boilers are much more complex than just hooking up electricity, but should be done sometime this weekend, today, tomorrow, Sunday. We have some big buildings with lots of apartments, Mitchell Lama projects, sort of quasi-government things and totally private things, where they still need generators. As we can free up, we move generators over there. The priority is going to get to be those up, and that's in that 2,100. The people who are really suffering is further out in Far Rockaway, where it's lower, further away. The Long Island Power Authority is the one that's responsible for that, because it's closer to Nassau, really, than to Manhattan. And they've traditionally done it, came out of the Long Island Lighting Company, had the contract back when. They're down to 20,000, and we'll do anything we can to help them. We've sent them equipment. And as Con Ed frees up resources, they'll go to more tree removal damage and try to help them. LIPA gets criticized a lot. I don't know how much of it's true. It's a lower level, an area where the water can do more damage anyways. So but what we've got to do is help them and get everybody back. And then we can look at some of these other things. Building a big wall along the Atlantic coast, not going to happen.
No, I mean, there's no way to do it.
And also, you know, everybody, every homeowner on a beach, when their beach gets washed away by a storm, says, oh, we should rush in and replenish the sand at government expense, build jetties and that sort of thing. Some of those things help. But if you go read the history books, from as long as people have lived on the Long
Island storm
coast,
comes along.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
it messes
I'm not unsympathetic. Just, you know, you can build your house stronger, maybe. You can build it slightly more inland. Some of these berms do work.
Should we redline, or let's say for the watercolor, forget redline, blue line, those that are on the water side of that line?
We do that already. The insurance companies do exactly what you just said. If you live in a place where they think there's a higher probability of you getting washed away, they charge you more.
But
you want to pay
insurance is paid for by the federal government, but paid by the taxpayers.
Yeah, and a lot of
America.
People don't have flood insurance, but just generally on your house, because wind damage is a good proxy as well.
But doesn't a federal flood insurance program, in a sense, encourage people or at least backstops their losses?
I suppose you could make the argument that federal subsidies, federal safety nets for everything would take away some responsibility. Yeah. But we live in a society where I think virtually everybody is willing to acknowledge that when people get in trouble, we should come to help, like FEMA does in a big thing like this, or, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, and when you're really in trouble, going to a hospital when you don't have insurance, we'll take care of you. Virtually every hospital emergency room would. We're not so cold and cruel to say you're totally on your own. And if we didn't have those programs, you would be, and maybe you'd behave slightly differently, but we wouldn't have as good a society as we have.
All right, let me take a break, Mr. Mayor. I know that you've got a shortened stay with us today, so we're going to forget. After 8 o'clock, we're going to amend our schedule slightly here this morning. Mayor Michael Bloomberg will be with us for a couple.
All right, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
How many tons of debris do you think our sanitation department has removed since Sandy? I'll give you rough numbers. You don't have to be exact.
I don't know. 200,000 tons.
You're actually very good. 220,000 it was yesterday, and it's a guess. but it's something. Keep in mind, the sanitation department takes away 11,000 tons a day. Private carters take away 11,000. They do the commercial stuff, and sanitation does the streets and residential. This is another couple hundred thousand.
Not to mention the trees. Now, the city itself doesn't have as many trees as, let's say, a Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester.
No, but we have lots of parks.
But you do.
And, sure.
But, I mean, the number of trees.
Out of parts of Queens and Brooklyn, the Bronx, are really very...
That disappeared.
And Staten Island, residential. Yeah, but the number... How many trees come down every year? I would allege it is about exactly equal to the growth of all of the other trees added together, divided by the average height of a tree. Because if that wasn't the case, we'd either be living in a field, or we'd have so many trees we couldn't walk.
We'd be living in tree houses.
Right, and trees have gone up and down forever.
They come back again. But yeah. I mean, again, the disposal
the
of
the danger
all of that.
Is when they fall. I mean, out of the 42, 43 people that died in the storm, a bunch were hit by trees. There were two kids who were killed up in Westchester, I think it was. There was a guy who was in bed sleeping, and a tree comes through his house.
No, it's nasty stuff. Yeah. Tell me about the gasoline situation, the odd even. Are you going to suspend it this weekend?
It finishes, the executive order I put out finishes on Sunday. I'm told Nassau and Suffolk are
tonight
ending
at midnight.
Tonight. We've talked about it. Nobody knows for sure whether that helps. All I can tell you is when we put it in, the line started easing. Today we're up to close to 70% of the stations open. Everybody's yelling and screaming about, oh, they didn't have generators. Well, it's their business, number one. And number two, a lot of them, there were debris, and you couldn't have gotten to them anyways. And, you know.
Question was a serious one. Why wouldn't you require, because there's all kinds of requirements to own a gas station.
It's not something that we should dismiss. I think we should think about it.
Where they would have a connection so that if the problem existed,
generator up and connect it pretty quick. Any electrician can just disconnect from the network and put that in. That's not the issue. Is you want to have them have generators? Do they have to have a generator and test it once a month or something like that? That would be a reasonable thing to do. It makes it more expensive. I think we should look at that. That's not an idea that should be dismissed. The problem, however, for a lot of them was not that. The problem was getting the gas.
Yep.
You know, there was a barge loose in the harbor. The Coast Guard closes the harbor to protect everybody. There's a pipeline coming through New Jersey. The electricity over there went out and the pipeline stopped functioning. There were refineries that had damage.
Linden went down.
Right. And then there are the distribution points where the trucks pull up. Those had some damage, too. So I don't know how much, if every gas station had a generator, how much it would have helped. But it's probably not certainly an idea we should look at. In terms of the odd even, it certainly hasn't hurt. And there are some people that say, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. A lot of people drive and fill up their cars. Maybe we should have it go another week. I got to think about that today. And if we're going to do it, I'll sign another executive order for another 5 days to take you through.
It doesn't seem to be a hindrance, really.
Some people complain about everything, but it doesn't seem to be a hindrance in a good ways. And if it, in the end, protects you, why not run it for another 5 days? So we'll talk about that when I get back.
What were some of the other things that maybe the rest of us haven't thought about that you stumbled across in the last 2.5 weeks that stick in your mind as things, hey, we got to look at this sort of thing?
The buildings department has 50,000 homes or something like that they've inspected. We put a sticker on it, red, yellow, green, depending on the severity of the damage and what you've got to do before you can reoccupy. There are about a little less than 1,000 homes that got red all along the South Shore, Staten Island, Coney Island, Breezy Point, the Rockaways. So that's the order of magnitude of the really badly damaged houses. Out of that, 200, 300, 400 maybe will in the end not be fixable. So just to put it in perspective, the others will require a lot of work. And it depends how much you're willing to. You could take anything, and if you did enough work, you can restore it. You can't have a hard and fast number how many of. But that's a good estimate by our buildings department. Use the number 800, 1,000 red, and a quarter of those maybe are not salvageable at a reasonable cost. And then the orange will require a lot more work than the green, but are structurally sound and just need some work before they're totally safe for you to walk around. Like if the stairs to the basement's out, you don't want to walk in through that door, but the house is structurally sound. So that's the order of magnitude of people who are in the end going to have to find other places. Our objective is to get everybody back into their homes rather than into shelters. We have shelters for everybody. Last time I checked yesterday, there were a little over 1,000 people, 1,200 that were in the shelters. About 500 in hotels. There are people, I'm worried about hypothermia, so we're trying as hard as we can. We've created these teams, about 4,500, I think it is, have signed up through today. We send out an estimator starting yesterday. We take a look at what you need. Then we send a team, an electrician, plumber, carpenter,
whatever. That's through the FEMA program, right?
I mean, FEMA's going to pay for it. The city
but the
program.
City's going to organize
city's
it.
Organizing it. We have a contract. Tishman's Dan Tishman's the general, giving us all of the advice and overseeing it to make sure the prices are fair of the, for these contractors and for the public whose work they're doing. And our objective is to walk in. We're not going to do everything else in your house that needs to be done.
But you'll fix the hole in the roof.
If it's life-threatening, sure. Right. But generally, you're responsible for everything other than what our team is going to do is get you electricity on the network. So it means replacing circuit breakers and some wiring. Get you hot water and heat, which generally require a new hot water heater and a new heater because those were damaged and been probably ripped out and thrown out by now. And we've got to get as many people done. The numbers, it depends. Some people are doing it themselves. Jim Molinaro, the borough president of Staten Island, has gotten electricians there. He's organized something. Staten Island's a very well-organized community. They're going through, doing 80 a day. How many do you really have? Nobody's really sure because when you get inside, it may be better than you think. It could be as high as 10,000 that we still have to do. Maybe it could be 15,000. Maybe it's only 5,000. The answer is not to sit around spending all our time counting numbers. It's getting teams out there. And you just got to come. You go to, we have six centers around. You go to 311, find out where the centers are. You go, FEMA's there. You get a FEMA number, which is what you need to get reimbursed. You go over the other desk, give us your address. We'll make an appointment with you. We send the team out, hopefully today, tomorrow, the next few days, and then we get right behind them comes the people that actually do the work and get them going. You know, everybody sits around and talks about it, but it is the volunteers and the city agencies. You know, the beginning, it was the firefighters and the cops were the heroes. They were doing all the rescue. Then it was the cops protecting us, making sure there was virtually no looting. I can't tell you the number of people call me from around the country saying, how can you have this without any looting? There were two little groups and we arrested the people, 20, 50, 30 people.
It was spooky though with Lower Manhattan out in the dark.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But you know, burglaries up a little bit, but we kept it safe. And so the firefighters went from the rescue to pumping out. Cops went from rescue to keeping crime down. Then comes along the sanitation department. And you know, it's amazing. These guys are working 12 hours a day. I went to visit one guy, sanitation worker in a hospital, electrocuted, but he's going to be okay. Some wire hits him. He's in the hospital. His family's lost their house. He's been working 12 hours a day to help everybody else. He's worried about his parents who are up in Westchester, and they didn't have electricity, so he couldn't get in touch with them. We finally get everybody on the phone. At least I assume they got together, but I was in the hospital room. We got him on the phone. The sacrifice and the dedication of the people, and the, you know, then there's teachers and every other.
And how about the TWU? The TWU at the MTA. I mean, getting those trains running again and the buses.
The trains, buses. That's fine. That we need. You know, without mass transit, you can't do a lot of things. People say, "Oh well, you know, we had to close the stock exchange." You didn't have to close the stock exchange because of the storm. You had to close the stock exchange because people couldn't get there. So, you know, I mean, that was caused by the storm, but in all fairness, the stock exchange, they're, number one, they're higher. They're not right at the water level. Number two, they have plenty of generators and that sort of stuff. They did exactly what they should have done. People were criticizing. I saw Nederland, head of the stock exchange, for not being ready. That was not true. That was so unfair. They were ready. But if the people can't get there, and that depends on the tunnels and the bridges and the roads and mass transit all working. And so when people say, well, you know, it's one problem, it's not. It's a lot of things.
All right. Let me ask you this question. How's it going to impact the budget? You got your budgetary headaches to begin with?
I mean, I was talking to the guy that runs Saks Fifth Avenue. He said he was on Bloomberg Radio, and then I happened to run into him at a fundraiser for the Fashion Institute of Technology, which is trying to build a new building. It's going to be a beautiful building, and they generate enormous, and they put out a lot of kids that have get jobs right away. Fashion industry is a great industry to create jobs and also create new businesses. But as Steve said, often he said, 2 or 3% it'll hurt this quarter in terms of their sales. And I think that's the ones that it will really hurt. I went to visit some stores along the South Street Seaport, or some others in Red Hook, and some others in a couple neighborhoods in the Rockaways. They're out of business for a month or two. Galleries, I visited some the other night in Chelsea. All their art was in the basement. They had insurance for that, but they don't have business interruption insurance. They don't have insurance to fix the, it's got to rip out the bottom 4 feet of the wallboard and replace it because there's mold and that sort of thing. So small businesses have gotten hurt. There are some big companies still out of their buildings, lower Wall Street area down by closer to the ferries. Those companies probably moved some of their operations elsewhere. You got to worry about some of the stores down there reopening, and that's got to be our next focus. We've got to get people safe, warm, able to take a hot shower, have electricity. Then you also, at the same time, and the next step in that is to make sure the businesses are going so people can shop and people can have jobs. And then you get to the point where let's see whether or not what longer term things you can do. And longer term is things you can get done before the next hurricane season, or things that, building a barrier along the Atlantic coast would be a long project. That's not something for even in your lifetime it would take. Can you imagine the court challenges and the environmental stuff and who's going to pay for it? And, and if you do that, the Gulf Coast. They would want theirs too.
Everybody does. Yeah. Build a wall around the United States coastline isn't going to happen.
I think that's fair.
Did you learn anything personally?
Yeah, getting numbers, finding out what's really going on. That's in any situation. That's the hard part. I'm always reminded of, what should at the end, they lay out all the problems, and then the student sits around and what should Mr. Smith do? The issue is not that, because there probably isn't any one thing. And if you do something that's rational and consistent, that's probably as good as the other thing that was rational and consistent. It's knowing what their issues are. Nobody can ever get good data. I was having a discussion on the car coming over with Mark Livogno, press secretary. What do you do when somebody tells you that they're going to get something done by Tuesday, and it's not done by Tuesday? And they say Wednesday, and it's not done by Wednesday and Thursday. And there is one issue, one possibility is you say to your people, don't give me a number that you're not guaranteed to meet because I don't want to be embarrassed. That's the way a lot of government works. A lot of businesses work that way, too. I'm on the other side of that, 100%. I don't want you lying to me. I want you to tell me, I think I can get it done Tuesday. I'll have to have a lot of things going the right way, but there's a chance. And my confidence level is 80%. And so I'll say, 80% confidence we're going to get it done. If it's not done, then the press massacres you and says, I'm sorry. I wish I were as smart as some of these people are. It's more complex when you get into doing it. Some things work. Software projects are notorious like that. There's also mission creep in software projects where as you're going along, you add more things to do. But, we have the federal government says boilers are going to show up. So they're 2 days late. Okay. Maybe they were trying, sitting around and yelling at them and complaining that they didn't deliver or complaining that, our services aren't up to snuff. That during crises, that's not, number one, that's not the time to do it. And number two, I would rather give you an honest estimate of when we can get done. And if it turned out to be more complex, my only question is, did you work as hard as you could? If you did, and if you're intelligent, and I would have made maybe the same decision with the same facts, I want you walking by my side. I don't want you anyplace else. If you want a company or a government that doesn't work, then you manipulate the numbers and you run no risks whatsoever, and you build in so many safety margins that nothing gets done. Not the ways we should be running New York City, and not the ways we are.
All right, Mr. Mayor, I know you have another meeting coming up here, and thank you for your time as always.
See you next week.
All right.
Just remember, Canute.
You will be wandering around the Macy's Parade area?
I certainly will. Macy's is giving a lot of tickets to you know, kids and people from...
I heard, yeah.
Yeah, which is a nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote me a nasty thing. You know, they need light and power. Yeah, they also need some entertainment. If you have kids, even if you don't have light and power, that'd be a nice thing to do. And Macy's is
It's actually better than light and power, probably, after two and a half
weeks. And also, Macy's is one of the great corporate citizens. Thank you for their fireworks. Thank you for the parade. Thank you for employing an awful lot of people in this city and giving people a chance to buy great merchandise at reasonable prices. And, yeah, I'll certainly go and I shake hands and I go to a soup kitchen here or there, help carve, and when nobody's looking, take a little piece of crisp skin, which I love, off the turkey, and with my fingers. Probably shouldn't do that. It would never happen. I would never do that.
Never in a lifetime.
So you have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
Love this. I think of all the holidays, this is my favorite, because families come together. Other holidays, they sort of go in different directions, skiing, golfing, visiting Aunt Sally, and that sort of thing. But here, everybody comes together. And, you know, if you take a look at the differences in Thanksgiving meals, they all have a cultural component of, you know, what your family has done. But people from around the world who never celebrated or heard of Thanksgiving before.
Love it.
Yeah,
they love
it. It's a great holiday.
Absolutely love it. Happy Thanksgiving to the Bloombergs. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate that. 15 minutes now before 9 o'clock.